The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM if you're in the DMV on the radio dial. If you're not and you want to listen, you know, anywhere in the world, really,
right.
federalnewsnetwork.com, podcast one, coming soon, so you can download us and listen to us at your leisure. You know, I would love for someone to listen as they are in D.C. and it's a little chilly because it's fall and the rain's
right.
coming down and they're maybe sitting on the back porch or in the garage with the door open. Sipping a beverage of their choice, you know what I mean?
Right.
And listen to the Federal Football Report. That's what we do here on Federal Network.
As long as it's not pumpkin latte, because right. I don't go for that, right?
Kevin, have you ever had one?
No, I have not.
So I've never had one ever in my life. And because, you know, radio people, we do weird things. We do these radio bits. There was a radio network that I worked for in the DMV that said, hey, if you never had one, why don't we do a whole bit about it? And so I tried one for the first time last week.
Oh, yeah.
But I messed it up. So I went to one of these fancy coffee places. And, you know, they've got these different sizes. I don't know how to order at these fancy places.
I don't
go to the fancy
right,
places.
Right.
You know, they've got different names for the sizes. Like, they don't do small, medium, or large.
Yeah, that's too easy.
Yeah, they do something different. And it's not even English. Like, it's a different language. And I'm like, we're in America. I thought we speak American.
That's right.
So anyway,
yes, I have a pequeño grande, please.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so I'm there, and so anyway, I say, listen, I don't know what to say. I just want a small pumpkin spice latte. Can you, like, don't correct me, just make it.
Right.
And so they made it. It was pretty good.
Really?
It wasn't bad. Now, after drinking probably 75% of what was in the cup,
right.
It was just a little too sweet, and so I had to dump the rest of it out. I was on the verge of a sugar high. And I didn't want to deal with that. So.
But see, then if that's not bad enough, if they try to take over, right, you know, with, you know, influence you to drink these things. And then they have to interject into all aspects of your life, like
right.
pumpkin spice toothpaste.
Right.
Pumpkin spice deodorant.
Right? You don't need call it pumpkin spice latte, the PSL crew is where they abbreviate everything.
We don't need that.
No, we don't. What we need is maybe a new head coach. No, but anyway, so the Redskins fall to 1-6. They lose 9-0, shut out by the San Francisco 49ers on what was a really rainy, muddy kind of a day. Now, I will say this. I'm not disheartened by this loss at all. The 49ers, surprisingly, good team.
Yeah.
Good defense.
Yeah.
I felt like the score was 9-0, and it was that close because the weather was so bad.
Well, yes and no. I mean,
I love the commitment to the run.
Yeah,
I mean, first drive, run. Peterson, which is all we've been asking for the last few years.
Right.
Kicker missed the field goal. Okay. Yeah. All right, whatever. So I couldn't find anything too upsetting, and we'll get to it maybe later in the show, other than maybe, you know, if you want to pass the ball 12 times, Dwayne Haskins can do that. I mean, how ready do you have to be to have 12 passing attempts?
But here's the thing. I too enjoyed the commitment to the run, but it was like there was no purpose to it. It was just like they said, well, we got to either run or pass.
So,
let's run. But, you know, I'm thinking like you commit yourself to the run and if the defense starts out with 8 in the box, right, then you might have to change out of that. And then, they're forcing you to pass. Like, you see teams do that all the time. They say, we will not let the running back beat us. We're going to force the quarterback to beat us, right? But, see, what happens is most of the time if they put 8 in the box, then you have to go up top. Then you go over the top. Then you pass the ball.
Right.
But it seemed like the passing the ball option just was not in the game plan.
Yeah. So, right, my criticism in play calling is the fact that I don't think you had to run as much as you ran. Like, you could have tried to pass the ball a little more. By the way, so the 49ers, I think, only passed the ball four more pass attempts than the Redskins. And given the circumstances, the pass game wasn't as bad as it could have been, given all the rain and how wet it was. They had some big plays. I mean, I don't remember seeing a game where I thought an 11-yard pass meant so much. Where I'm like, okay, things, you know, can happen in the passing game, but they just seem to have abandoned it and didn't try to pass, especially when the game was on the line. You're down 3-0, you're down 6-0. It's like, you know, if we try to move the, are we trying to win or are we just trying
that
to?
That is exactly move the point. What was the purpose of what was going on? Because winning the game did not seem to be involved in the game plan.
Right.
The game was winnable. It's almost as if they were shocked. Within a touchdown. Gosh, what do we do now?
Right. Garoppolo, you know, if you want to go stats, was 12 for 21. Yeah, my numbers were a little off. Case Keenum, 9 for 12. So what's that? A difference of about 9 attempts, which is significant. I mean, you know, you take 9 attempts. Suppose 4 of them are substantial and maybe even 2 of those 4 are first downs. You know, that's not even a high percentage, but it could mean a lot in the course of a game.
Yeah, and you know this, our defense also was like a half a step away from making a bunch of big plays. Mm-hmm. They had their hands on the ball.
Well, Troy Apke had that good interception,
which he should have knocked down because it was fourth down. I don't know. Yeah, I understand. I see. You know, you get into the game. Monte Nicholson was hurt. You get into the game. You see the ball just floating up there in the air, right? And I guess you like Glory Days start playing from Bruce Springsteen in the background, and you see the hero and the accolades and them carrying you off the field. All this in his mind when the ball is coming down. Instead of it's fourth down, we'll have the ball where they snapped it from. You know. Now, fortunately, he had a decent return, but if I'm his coach, I'm saying, great catch, son. Should have knocked that one down.
Right. It's fourth down. Knock it down so we get the ball.
That's
exactly
right. Make sure they don't catch it. No. But you know, we still love you.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. So I mean, you know, I'm looking at it again, Adrian Peterson in the game with the weather being a factor the way it was, anything under, you know, 18 runs is unacceptable. Adrian Peterson had 20 runs, 81 yards. I'm good with that. But again, I do think that there should have been more pass attempts. Now, the Redskins only had, I think, 35 plays in general.
Right.
Didn't have a lot of attempts to do anything or a lot of opportunities offensively. Yeah. But again, which could have changed if you have received more first downs, which could have came through the passing game. I mean, it is ultimately the, I think I am willing to give Coach Callahan and the team a pass on this game, given the weather. But conceding the fact that there should have been more passing attempts. You don't seem to be as forgiving as I am on
you're
this.
You're a little bit more generous than I am going to be in this case because, you know, we've heard before, even before the former coach, Jay Gruden, was here, you heard all these rumblings about Kevin O'Connell being the next hot thing, being the pumpkin spice latte, if you would, of the NFL, right? Because of the success of Sean McVay, because Sean McVay was the prodigy. Who's the next prodigy? So, Kevin O'Connell has inherited this role, but I have not seen anything that shows any sort of genius or even competence. Look, you got players like they tried to run the plays to Sims, the misdirection plays, and I tweeted at that time, you can't run a misdirection unless you have some direction. How you gonna fool anybody? How you gonna have the trick erasure if you haven't established anything, right? You know,
and by the way, I mean with the field in that condition, you know, for the most part, that kind of stuff's just not going to work. Because as hard as it is for the defense to find their footing, it's hard for the offensive players to find their footing as well. And so I wasn't quite sure what that was all about. No, you've got a great point.
You know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, before we had domes, before we had, you know, football playing on carpet and in people's living rooms and air-conditioned buildings, the game was played outside in the elements. And for one thing, I've always thought a wet football is easier to catch because of the leather, right? The type of leather they use is grainy. And it's just, I mean, it's just easier. Because you get a grip on it. Now they have all these gloves and things. Like, back in my day, we didn't have fancy gloves, half of us didn't have hands.
Play unless it rained. Right.
That's right. But the thing about it is, in the rain, the offensive player has the advantage because he knows where he's going.
Well, especially
and the
receiver.
Doesn't.
I mean,
that's
the receiver, you know, the defense is always going to be. Well, in general, the defense is about a half second off of the offense.
That's
anyway,
right.
Because the
that's
offensive
right.
player knows it. So in the rain, in those sloppy conditions, I mean, it increases about a second and a half.
Right, which is all
the time you pretty much need for the most part.
Yeah, but
in a professional game to get open, I mean, you got a second and a half. That's a lot of face.
And we got one of the guys who was one of the candidates for Rookie of the Year mm-hmm. on this team, right? Yep. And you threw the ball like, what, three times or something?
Yeah, I'm trying
like
to
that.
See how many attempts.
I think they targeted him four times.
Yeah, well, he had, and he only had one reception. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. For 11 yards. And you're like, okay, I'll take that. I'll take those.
But you know what? Watching the game, I don't know if you observed this or not. Case just did not look comfortable, right?
Case didn't look comfortable at all.
I mean, just standing there, he didn't look comfortable.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He would have his hands in the little mitt, and like one hand in the mitt and a glove on the other hand. It's like 60 degrees out there. Right. It's raining. Right. Come on, what is up with that?
Yeah, no, didn't look comfortable at all.
Now, you know, he had the best year of his career he had was with the Vikings, which the reunion's coming up in a couple of days.
It's coming Thursday. We'll talk about it.
But, you know, so that means that over 50% of the games he played inside that year.
Exactly. Weather wasn't a factor. And so, you know, but the thing is, I mean, it's funny. We play up a lot about weather and cold weather teams, and there is some truth to a lot of that. But a lot of these guys aren't from where they played. They aren't from where they went to school. And so some of them are used to the weather. And, you know, everyone grows up. I'm just thinking about growing up, watching football, playing out in the parking lot, playing boys club. You love when it rains. You love when it's cold. You love when it's Thanksgiving
Day. That's the way it is.
And so I think that's all across football players in general. And so, although there may be some who are a bit more comfortable, he looked uncomfortable, but I'm not sure if it was because, of the weather or whether it's because, you know, listen, this is still the second game of a new kind of coaching regime. And maybe there's some different wrinkles. And maybe when you throw the elements in, he's already, you know, adapting to a new situation. Then there's a new coach. And now there's some elements. That's an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. That's true. But that's why he gets paid the salary because of his ability to adapt. I mean, he's played for half the teams in the league, right? Right. You know, and he, you know, he caught lightning in a bottle with the Vikings that year. But that's the point.
Not feeling, you know, forgiving at all today.
Man, because they could have won this game.
Right.
It's not, you know, I'm not on the, right now, I'm not on the play Dwayne bandwagon because I think that nothing against Dwayne, but I think he should have an opportunity to succeed.
Right.
Not just throw him out there just on his raw ability, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because you look at the quarterback in Miami, and I forget his name, the one that just left Arizona.
Oh, yeah, Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen.
Weren't they in the same draft?
No.
Dwayne was just drafted.
But
he was in the same draft as Lamar Jackson.
Josh
Rosen.
Josh Rosen was there. Josh and the quarterback in Buffalo, Sam Darnold. I mean, Buffalo. That's the Jets.
Josh Allen.
Yeah,
Sam
all
Darnold.
Those guys. Right. And a lot of those guys were just thrust into it and forced to just to see what happens. Right. Some will succeed in that. Some won't, right?
Right.
You know, but I want to give this guy a chance to learn all he can because we're at a point now where his physical ability is better than anybody else on the roster.
Right.
But would that be enough of an advantage to assist it? Yes, they will be better off physically than they are right now with Keenum and the late great Colt McCoy. But. I want this kid to succeed.
Let's jump into this whole Dwayne Haskins thing. I want to look at the quarterbacks in 2018 because we just mentioned some of them. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. I don't think we know what either one of those guys are going to be. Right?
Right.
I mean, I think even if you look at Baker Mayfield right now, given what the expectations were coming into the season, he has been given the keys to the car. He's been given all the talent in the world from Jarvis Landry to Odell Beckham Jr.
They've been
very disappointing.
Nick Chubb, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, it was Josh Rosen, we look at Lamar Jackson. I mean, and Lamar Jackson seems to be the quarterback, the best quarterback out of that draft right now, the ones drafted in the first round. I think when it comes to it, and I'll get this back to Dwayne Haskins, Lamar Jackson seems to be, the most successful of those three right now, of those four right now. Josh Allen, he has success with Buffalo, but I think it has more to do with the defense and him game managing and not turning the ball over. Because something we talked about in 2012, do you try to make a quarterback fit your system when he's gifted the way that Lamar Jackson or an RG3 is gifted, or do you make everything fit around them because of their gift? Lamar Jackson, Baltimore's changed everything for him.
Not only
that. And here's the thing. Do I want Lamar Jackson to play for 12 years and in the league and tell him to stop running as much? Or do I say, you know what, if this lasts 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever, but we're going to play to your skill set, and for however long you can go, we're going to go with you doing your thing. That's what you do with
these
guys.
That's right. Because, you know, Lamar Jackson's body will tell him when it's time to stop running.
Right.
Like, there's going to be one hit one day. He said, okay, that's it for me, brother.
Right.
Because if you look at Russell Wilson, right? Russell Wilson had all the skills of a Kaepernick and RG3. But,
100%.
But I can't say a better athlete, but maybe a better built athlete, a sturdier athlete, right? Mm-hmm. And they used to run that same read option, right? In Seattle. But if you notice him, he'll scramble now, but he will not run downfield as much as he used to.
No, he won't.
You say, I'll give you guys the ball, let you take a couple of those hits. Right. But you notice, that's an interesting point you brought up about Baltimore, because what they did is they brought him, Lamar Jackson, in while Flacco was still there and still playing.
Yep, absolutely.
But the writing was on the wall because they kept RG3 as the third quarterback.
Now, they got Hayden Hurst in the first round. They traded back in to get Lamar Jackson.
That's how much they wanted him.
This was the last pick of the first round.
That's right. And because all the analysts were saying that he'd be a good wide receiver and all that. Some of that nonsense,
totally ridiculous.
They should make Baker Mayfield a wide receiver.
Right.
But you got to look at, I guess Ozzie Newsome is still running the show for the Ravens, mm-hmm. right, personnel-wise. They looked at the future and they said, this is how this is going to work for us, right?
Right.
You know, they had Flacco, the established veteran, right? You know, the Super Bowl champion, mm-hmm. Super Bowl winning Flacco.
He only won one. That was who was the other quarterback that won one? He wasn't much of a passer. I'll figure it out.
Trent Dilfer.
Yep,
Trent
that's
Dilfer.
It. Yep.
Yeah. But then they brought RG3 in as the third quarterback because they said we need somebody. The plays we designed for Lamar Jackson, we need somebody who'll be able to run these plays just in case.
Just in case.
And it as a matter of fact, in the playoffs last year, the last drive, I believe. Jackson hurt his leg in RG3, right? It was
just a small inch away from not being a catch.
That's right. A better receiver, it would put him in field goal range. But the point here is they read the writing on the wall. This is what we have to do to win. This is the style of football we have to do to win, and it's working.
And here's my beef with the Redskins regarding this quarterback situation is, I'm fine. Listen, if you want to play Haskins now, okay, fine. I'm fine with that. If you say we got to see what we have in the quarterback, I don't think that's what you should do. But if that's your plan, cool. If your plan is not to play him, then fine. But at least just announce what your plan is. I am personally, because given Haskins and his particular situation with only playing like his 1 year for the most part in Ohio State, I'm fine with finding a guy like a Case Keenum who can be your bridge quarterback. And by bridge, I mean to give this guy 2 years to get ready.
Mm.
I'm fine with the Case Keenum because we've seen him get to the NFC Championship game. I'm fine with the Case Keenum being a bridge guy to get your guy some reps, to get your guy some experience, to get your guy hearing the plays, getting familiar with the playbook. Because it's not even just about understanding what a play is or reading defenses. Sometimes it's how fast can you do it. You got, 35 seconds on a play clock or 25 seconds, whatever. That play gets in, you got to be able to understand it, articulate it, read the defense. So sometimes it's speeding it up. So I'm fine with a bridge quarterback. But just say what the plan is for the quarterback. Don't just draft him and say, okay, well, we'll figure it out as we go. No, we're drafting this guy. He seems to be the future for the team, but I think it's going to take more development. We've got a bridge situation in where we got Case Keenum. We've got him for this year. We may re-sign him. We may use Colt because he knows the offense, or we may, if Alex Smith is good, we'll use him again. One way or the other, he's a bridge guy for the next 2 years, and then we're going to bring the young guy in, and that's what we're going to do. If he's ahead of schedule, we'll bring him in earlier. But if not, the plan is for 2 years. Say what the plan is. This team seems that we have Haskins. Oh, he's not ready yet. Not ready yet. Not ready yet. Not ready yet. How about we just have a plan in place for the kid?
Here's my problem.
That's
with the
issue that I have.
Yeah, I understand. But here's my problem. I want to see the kid play. I do. I want to see him play.
I'm with you.
But if you look at it, he started one season at Ohio State.
Where, by the way, you know, when you watch what he did at Ohio State, there were a few times where they would throw maybe a 15-yard in or a quick slant and the receivers would break it. But for the most part, a lot of the explosive plays were him just throwing the ball deep downfield and the receivers going to go get it.
That's right.
So it wasn't a lot of intricate reading of defenses
and
play calling.
That's true. But this is football. This is not, I mean, They went to Ohio State to get the player. They didn't go to MIT to get the guy, right? You know what I'm saying? It's football.
Okay, at some point, it's not rocket science.
I don't care how complicated they trying to make this thing.
Right.
It's just football.
Right, right.
They're so busy trying to impress you at how smart they are about what they, it's just football. You get you get 10 yards. My father.
I'd rather win with a dumb offensive scheme than lose with an intricate one.
<That's> right.
Give me a dummy who can play than somebody smart who can't win.
That's true. One Thanksgiving, my father, when we were all sitting around watching football, and one of my brothers said, you know, I don't really understand football. What's going on here? My father said, all you do, you need to make 10 yards. You get four tries to make 10 yards. If you get 10 yards, you get another four tries.
That's it.
I said, man, that's brilliant.
right.
That's what it is. Now, the thing about Dwayne is, was he redshirted at all? He just went from playing high school football to playing college football. I don't think he was redshirted, right? So if you look at it, and you know how it is with youth sports, the best athletes just get given stuff.
Uh-huh.
Right? You automatically, you know, me as an athlete, I had to try out and just work my behind off to make the team.
Right.
You know, that's the skills I had. I was just happy to be there. But an athlete of Dwayne's capabilities has been pretty much given the position, you know, just because of his physical abilities all of his young life.
So it looks like in 2017, he played 8 games for Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And 2018, he played 14.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So 2 years, but he was the man for that period of time.
Right.
Has he ever been
freshman
in the position?
Freshman 2017, right. Sophomore 2018.
You know, here's the thing, right? And then him coming out of the school, look at how many college quarterbacks, like when they're in their sophomore year, the college will recruit another quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Look at Tua and
Jalen Hurts. Right.
That's right. Look at that. Right.
Jalen Hurts was the big man on campus, was the big deal until Tua
until
came.
Until Tua
and
came.
And then
right?
Jalen gets hurt. Tua comes. He wins the national championship. No, Jalen didn't get hurt.
No, he just
he
was
played
playing
bad
poorly.
In
yeah.
the first half of the national championship
right,
game.
Right. Right.
Tua comes in and they. And
that's
they
right. That's right.
Clemson.
That's right.
Yeah.
But still, there was some competitive. Spirit, there was something, there was competition.
Right.
Dwayne has not had to beat anybody else for a job. He has not had to beat anybody else out for a job. I would love to see him have just that athletic arrogance of an RG3 to say, no, I'm hurting all this, but this is my job. This is mine, right? You know, you're taking something that belongs to me instead of the I'll play when coach. I'd like to see him back in the old days be like a Joe Theismann who wants to play so badly. Look, coach, I'll return a punch. I'll do anything.
I just want to get in the game.
I want to get in the game, right? You know, instead of like, tweeting here
and
tweet there. I'd like to see a little bit more of that edge, right? I don't know if he's built like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I mean, that's something that he can learn, but you know, if he's waiting for somebody to give him something, it might happen. I just hope they don't. I just hope he just gets so mad that he just starts spending the night out at Redskin Park and say, you all are going to play me. That's what I hope.
I'll play running back. I'll play tight end. I'll do whatever.
Right now, they would rather play a do not get wet Case Keenum over Dwayne.
Yeah.
So something else is happening there, right?
And that's the other thing you got to take in consideration. Like I said, I'm cool with a bridge situation. I'm cool with whatever plan. Just give us a plan. But at the same time, you're looking and you're like, is he really this much worse than Case? You know, I just don't know if he is or not. It's the Federal Football Report, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Man, that first segment, very spirited and very long.
Yes.
So we're going to take a break here. We'll come back with fake news or not on the Federal Football Report. Segment number 2 of the Federal Football Report, Federal News Network, 1500 AM. Not really going to talk about the loss Sunday to the 49ers. We talked about it a little bit, but I think we're at the point now in the season where it's more big picture. It's more, you know, future thinking. Where are we going from here? And that's what not only the analysis of the Redskins will be, but I think even moving forward in the games, like it's all about what's. And players want to win today. They want to win the game in front of them. But I think from an organizational standpoint, everything's about the future at this point right now, right? I mean,
I you know, mathematically, we have not been eliminated. But from what I saw last week, I didn't see anybody on that team to believe the same way I did. It's like they were experimenting. Let's see. That's what happens. What happens if we put pumpkin in this coffee? You know, that's what they were doing, right? You know, or take the pumpkin spice and put it in on pancakes or on prime rib. Pumpkin spice prime rib. You know, that's what I saw, right? Let's see what's happening. Not let's try to make a meal that will fill us and keep us from starving.
Right.
Let's see how this tastes, right? You know, like you said, there was no plan in place. And I just thought about something before we move on here. Case Keenum started out with the Texans, right? The indoor team. I don't know where he was between Texas and Minnesota, another indoor team. But he definitely did not like playing in the elements. He did not like playing in the elements. As a matter of fact, if you look at
He went to Houston, yeah.
He went to Houston? Okay, well, he's used to playing in hot weather. And then, you know, they had the miraculous season and then the miraculous pass of Stephon Diggs, right? But when they went to Philly for the championship game, it just was like, it was no good, right? You know, so maybe, you know, we got to look at that, man. Maybe this is he's going back there on Thursday. We'll get back to that, but it's an indoor game. They might have a chance here, but we'll talk about that later.
So let's see. He spent his first two seasons in the league with Houston, with the Texans.
Yeah.
Then he went to St. Louis.
Inside.
Right. And then he went with St. Louis to Los Angeles. Outside but good weather.
Right.
Then he played Minnesota indoors, then Denver, and now in Washington.
Yeah. Right. He was not great in Denver, was he?
No, he was not.
You know, we may have stumbled across something here.
Let's talk about Dwayne Haskins played College of Ohio State.
Outside.
It's cold. Anyway. So, America, it's time for your favorite segment. It's time for Fake News or Not.
It's time for Fake News. Or not.
I just said that. Thank you, Captain Obvious. So I'll give you three statements. Kevin lets me know whether or not it's fake news or not. Statement number one, Dwayne Haskins will play this year. Fake news or not?
That's news. That's news because there'll be a public outcry. There'll be people with pitchforks and torches.
The statement probably should be he will start a game this year.
Yeah, he will. There will be... there'll be a mysterious injury to the quadricep clavicle of a Case Keenum, right? You know, they'll be doing the MCIs and the MRIs and the HBAs and all that. They'll say, Case will say, what do you mean I'm hurt? He'll have a walking boot on his elbow or something.
What do you mean
right?
I'm hurt? I'm hurt? He's going to read on Twitter, Case Keenum inactive for Sunday's game because he's hurt. He's going to say, wait a minute, I'm inactive? I'm hurt? Okay.
That's exactly what's going to happen. And Dwayne will like it.
Right, and then retweet it.
Yeah.
I'm on. Funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So that's how it's gonna happen.
Fake news or not? Question number two. Statement number two. The Redskins will look for a quarterback in this year's offseason via the draft or free agency. Fake news or not?
I think that's. That's not part of their plan because you know there's a what you call a wild card involved in all this, and that's Alex Smith, right? And
right.
You keep hearing the reports of how Alex is working hard and throwing the ball, it's obvious. I heard the head coach talking, and the amount of respect that Alex has around the team and around the league for attempting to come back. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, I was sitting here, I was actually producing a Washington Nationals game, I believe, in the studio, and I remember vividly when I saw that. No, I'll tell you what it was. It was Navy basketball. I was preparing to produce Navy basketball, and I told our good friend Pete Methurst, who was doing the game right during the break, hey, man, Alex Smith just broke his leg. But I think that, you know, if he can find another medical staff to work with, maybe there's an outside chance he comes back and he's there as the emergency backup, and they maybe get a late round pick as a quarterback,
like a fourth
maybe
a free, or a fifth.
And because they've made this investment, I don't think they have the wherewithal to do what the Cardinals did and say, okay, I don't think this is going to work because they have no sample size. They don't know if a kid can play or not.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
Some people are bad practice players, right? You know.
And by the way, I mean, I felt like Josh Rosen might be one of many quarterbacks who were drafted by a bad team who really shouldn't have played the quarterback as early as they played him, because I didn't see anything at UCLA that made me think Josh Rosen was ready for the pros.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
Even just from a body standpoint, like, he didn't even seem big enough to play. You know what I mean? He seemed like he was still playing in high school. And they played him, and I think he might be, you know, a casualty of that. However, I do agree. I think that a lot just hinges on Alex Smith. If Alex Smith is ready to play next year, whether, like you said, Dwayne has to beat him out to say, okay, listen, this is not going to be a second year on the bench, I'm beating this guy out, or whether Alex Smith beats him out. I think that if Alex Smith is ready to go, then you don't have to address the quarterback situation at all. I mean, I think you let Case walk, you let Colt walk, and those are your two guys coming in, depending on his health.
Yeah, do you think that Haskins might be a little bit too comfortable? I mean, he's at home basically, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, number one pick, right? You know, got. You know.
It seems like he's just fine with everything the way it is. You know what I mean? It almost seems to me. And again, I don't know what you want the guy to do. Whether I want him to go on media and say this staff stinks, I should be starting. I don't want him to do that. But it does seem like he's just going with the flow quite nicely, and that kind of bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, shouldn't there be a little more fire with this guy? Where he's like, you know, even if he's like, well, it's just inevitable before I get in, and I'm learning, I'm grinding every day, I'm trying to get, you know what I mean? There's something that seems to be not there about the passion to get in and play right now. And maybe he's just trying to be a team guy. I don't know.
My daughter played as a freshman, you know, played JV basketball. Mm-hmm. And when the team went to the tournament, the state tournament, they moved her and another young lady up from the JV team to the varsity.
Right, right, right.
And the first game of the tournament, it was a blowout. It was, now there were two different coaches now. The first game of the tournament was a blowout. They were up by like 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 3 minutes left to play, right? They didn't have a mercy rule per se, right? And my daughter wanted to play.
Uh-huh.
And there was a timeout that was up by 30. And the coach didn't put them in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned around the stands and looked at me. Right? You know, I told her afterwards, I admire you, like, holding, you know, she's fiery. She's
right,
fiery.
Right, right.
She got a lot of a mother in her, right? I put that on the mother, right?
Uh-huh.
But she looked at me like, you know, she was saying that this is ridiculous.
Right, right, right.
You
right.
know, I'm wasting my time being here.
Yeah,
right,
sure,
you
sure.
Know, you know, but that fire.
Yeah.
If I could see a little bit of that in Dwayne, I think I'd be a little bit.
Absolutely.
Don't
forget, I mean,
too.
You know, I don't want to look at the Dallas Cowboys, but I mean, remember there was that incident where Dez Bryant was yelling at on the sidelines at Romo and other people, and said, oh, he's such a knucklehead. But when they got audio of what he was saying, he was encouraging them, like, listen, we're better than this. We can do this.
Right,
you're
exactly.
One of the best quarterbacks in this league. Offensive line, you're one of the best, you know, and he's trying to fire everybody up. That's what we're talking about.
That, exactly
like,
right.
Fire folks up. Let's see it.
And sometimes you just got to build that fire up under yourself.
Right, right? Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
People were complaining about RG3 and his personality and his quotes, right? You know, he wasn't Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to win.
No, he wasn't.
He wanted to win. He wanted to win. Like, when the coach said we're 3-6, well, we're looking at next year. No, we're not. We're trying to win some games
exactly,
now.
Exactly.
Go against what the coach said. And they didn't like him for it. But because of him, we tasted the playoffs, right? You know?
People forget that. You know what? Here's the thing about the RG3, because we do focus on the bad.
Yeah.
But I think in any relationship, in any situation with coworkers, whatever, you do take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
And if the guy was a little arrogant, and yeah, the guy was like owner's pet, like whatever. But if the guy was a winner, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, we can run with this guy. We can do, you know what I mean? And I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what.
There was an explosiveness that he brought to every single play.
Right.
That, and I know this from experience, from watching games with fans who aren't Redskins fans, but were fans of teams we were playing, that when there was a three and out or a punt situation, that there was relief that, okay, we stopped them this time. You know, because let's not forget, like you said, that 2012 season, he lit the league on fire.
That's right. That's
on fire.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. There was one in that run, in the one of those, because every game at that point was a must win.
Right.
And there was one game, I forget who they were playing, but it was like a 4th and 22.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he scrambled for like 30 seconds.
It was ridiculous.
And Cooley, one of those guys, right? Yeah. You know, but they won. It was ridiculous, like you said. But there was always hope.
Always.
There's always hope. It's like, come on, fellas, we're going to win this. Yeah. I can't do it by myself unless I have to, of course, right? You know? But I need to see some of that out of Haskins. And I don't know if they've beaten down everyone else in that organization to allow him. When you come into an organization and see, like, one of the cornerstones, like a Trent Williams being treated the way he is,
that's
right?
The thing.
You know,
yep.
When you see your head coach telling people publicly that you're not ready, you can't play, right? You know, it has to have an effect, and that's going to be either a negative or a positive. And it's up to you to make that, you know, like, maybe, who knows how pumpkin spice latte was invented. Somebody said, here, that's, you know, you went to culinary school, right? Everybody else is dealing with prime rib and truffles. And
I'm going to make a coffee
and
that's here, pumpkin flavor.
You take these pumpkins and do something with them, right? You know, and you know, he's like, what? You know, I'm going to show you.
Yeah. I'm going to make the most popular drink among, you know, millennials and urban dwellers.
Now, you don't know that's how it really happened, right? But that's how it happens. Sometimes you got to go with what you know, right? You know, you can make yourself a winner, right?
There you go.
So I forgot what the original question was. Oh, about him
playing it all this season.
Yeah, he's going to play. That's news.
Okay,
that's news. Why is going to be the reason why he plays.
Well, there we go.
There we go.
Statement number three. I believe this is the last and final segment on Fake News or Not. Just got this news early this morning. Redskins rookie running back Bryce Love has to have an additional surgery on his knee. There's something fishy about this Redskins medical and training staff. Fake news or not?
That's not only news. That should be breaking news. You know, we interrupt this program. News.
Yeah.
When I heard that this morning, the first thing I did, and I tweeted it, the first thing I did, I cringed.
Yeah.
I said. Oh, this poor guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's just too much going on.
Because where there's smoke, there's fire. Alex Smith, similar setback. I think Colt McCoy had a
similar setback.
Trent Williams wants everyone on that training staff medical staff to be fired, or else he doesn't want to come
back.
Right. And then Bryce Love suffers he has to have a second knee surgery. There is something with the staff, and you're playing, and his football aside, fandom aside, whatever. You're playing with young men's ability to make money.
Yeah.
This is what they do for a living. Listen, we do a sports show and we have fun. People play fantasy sports and they treat some of these guys as if they're just assets on a fantasy team or, you know, whatever. This is how they make money. And their career spans are so short that they've got to get it while they can.
That's right.
And if you make, and this medical staff, I guarantee you they're highly paid. Highly paid individuals.
Oh, yeah.
And you make these recurring mistakes with these players, and you're messing with their livelihood.
You forgot to mention Darius Geis.
Right. Darius Geis, another running back. I mean, and he's out for the rest of the year. And he wasn't 100% healthy, and I think he had a couple of setbacks and things that took longer than it should. What in the world is going on with this Redskins medical staff where these guys are having to have follow-up surgery at the surgeries?
This
is news.
Trent, you know, you wish Trent would be more vocal, but I guess he's looking at it like it's not a cause for him yet. He's looking at the whole thing personally, but at some point somebody's going to have to champion this thing, right?
Because
it's not like this around the league, right? It's just not like this around the league.
Well, I mean, we got a guy, Adrian Peterson, who, what was his ACL, right? Blew that out.
Right.
And came back 1 year later and was comeback player of the year MVP. Like, he came back stronger.
Right.
Like, this doesn't happen in other teams.
That's right.
A guy gets hurt, they get a surgery, they go through rehab and they're back. For some reason, everybody who gets hurt, like, stays hurt.
They
never completely. What is the issue here with this team?
It's almost like it's like Dr. Frankenstein almost, right? Listen, is there a part here we can use on another player?
It is Halloween season.
It's very scary. It is very scary, man.
I don't get it. Fake news or not, ladies and gentlemen, America's favorite segment. Oh, man, I don't know. Bryce Love, man, gosh, I hope you get better
quickly.
I mean, and he's a guy that I almost forgot about. And you're right. And then Darius Geis, I mean, you've got him. I don't know, man. I don't understand what the issue is here with this medical staff.
And look, and people complain about Josh Dotson, like he started out was hurting, and he would tell people what was wrong, and then people talking about he can't stay healthy, right?
Right.
This is the beginning of his career.
Yeah, you know? You're right. Maybe the issue was the medical staff with him, too. We'll see. I mean, he's hurt in Minnesota. He's in Minnesota. Kurt obviously felt great about it. I'm pretty sure that he convinced him, bring this guy in. And, but he's not playing as well.
Speaking of Captain Kirk.
Yeah. We'll have more about Captain Kirk coming up in the next segment on Federal Football Report, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com, because the Redskins do play Minnesota, and they play Captain Kirk. Thursday Night Football, ladies and gentlemen. That's coming up. We'll preview it on the next segment on the Federal Football Report.
Talk about Kirk.
It's the Federal Football Report, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Claude Jennings, Kevin Stanfield, all things burgundy and gold. And yeah, man, it's the I Want You Back game on several different levels.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You've got Kirk Cousins and Kurt Cousins, who the Redskins unceremoniously let walk after paying him several millions of dollars.
Poor guy.
Poor dude.
Had the nerve to franchise him all those times and pay him a mere average of the top five quarterbacks in the league. And then had the nerve to do it again. Man, how's he supposed to feed his family?
Yeah, how's he going to feed his family? On the, anyway, you've got that
family
situation.
Yeah.
And he's got and things are looking pretty good for him in Minnesota right now after kind of an up-and-down situation. He and his receivers kind of getting into it. And now things looking all right. But then also you've got the Adrian Peterson coming back to Minnesota. And I don't think he's played in Minnesota yet. I know he's played against Minnesota,
right.
I'm sure, but I don't think he's played in Minnesota. Yeah. So it's an I want you back situation on all kinds of fronts. Going to be a tough test for the Redskins Thursday night at Minnesota. Minnesota kind of on a roll. Kevin, how do you see this whole thing playing out?
You know, I'm not a believer in karma. But if I was, I'd see Kirk Cousins throwing five touchdown passes to Josh Dotson.
And then perhaps asking the question, you like that?
Yeah. Do you like that?
Exactly. Yeah, we know that.
We said that.
Yeah. But you know, I don't blame him. Also, I mean, don't forget, you know, the reunion tour for Captain Kirk and the Burgundy and Gold. We also had the return of Case Keenum. To where he had the best part of his career, right? That's where you pretty much discovered Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs in that magical season,
right?
So I'm very curious as to see how he would be received, right? He can't be received as anything else but a hero in Minnesota, right? I
can't imagine not, right? I mean, you know, and think about Vikings fans. I mean, I wonder what the conversation is there when it comes to, okay, we were a game away from the Super Bowl. We thought Case wasn't the guy to get us over the hump. We look at Kirk, we think he's getting it done over there in Washington, according to what Minnesota may think. And so let's give him a try. And I think they missed the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they did. But you know, interesting. Let's see if we can get.
Does Minnesota want Case back? Can we do another trade where we swap quarterbacks again?
And you know, interestingly, you know, Case was the backup, and I can't remember who was starting in Minnesota before Case came in earlier that year.
Right? Was it Teddy Bridgewater?
It was.
Was that the Bridgewater year where Bridgewater got hurt?
But there was someone in between Bridgewater, too, because that was the year he suffered
that.
Oh,
man. Was that 2017?
He suffered that in camp, that devastating knee injury,
I was
right?
So, and by the way, I'm glad Teddy Bridgewater is, like, killing it right now. Because
undefeated.
He was on his way to being one of the star quarterbacks in the league when he got hurt. People forget about this. They treat him like he's a career backup or some kind of journeyman. No.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, he was, even in Louisville, he was Lamar Jackson before Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I mean, and he was set in the league. He was set for a great year in Minnesota. Many people thought that they were going to get to that Super Bowl anyway because the team was so good.
Right. And as a matter of fact, because of Keenum's, special year. That's one of the things that made Bridgewater available because of the money situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they decided to go all chips in on Captain Kirk. But it seems like there was another quarterback behind.
There was,
between,
and he got hurt. Sam Bradford.
That's exactly right.
It was Teddy Bridgewater and Sam. Bridgewater was the starter. Bradford was the backup, and Case Keenum was third string.
That's right. That's exactly right. So it was a magical place, and it was indoors. So, excuse me. So Case, you know, there's going to be some magic in this game. This is going to be special. He might even, like, take his hands out of his pocket and throw the ball.
Many different storylines.
So, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, and you know, sometimes that doesn't work out for a player when you are that intent on showing them what they could have done,
right?
You know, with you, and you want to get back at them, right? You sort of take the team aspect out of it. I don't think that Case has the same revenge, the same motive, let's say, as Kirkwood have, right?
Well, he was only there for 1 year, right?
Right. But Minnesota. I mean, but the magic was there, right? So I'm thinking some magical things are going to happen. I'm looking for some special things, some magical things, right? I mean, these guys, they have to be kind of embarrassed about what happened on Sunday. They have to be, right? You know, Minnesota, on the other hand, they had a situation where Captain Kirk wasn't doing their best, right? You know, he was trying to show leadership and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. Why is he always upset?
Yeah, I don't know, but Adam Thielen told him, hey, look, I don't care who you think you are, right? Throw the ball deep, right? Right. You know? And next thing I knew, he's got like 8 more touchdowns. But it's interesting how some teams, a player can speak out and speak their mind, mm-hmm. and the team takes what they say into consideration.
Yeah.
And then you have like a swearing situation. And say, no, don't you tell the people that you know,
right?
Yeah. You got to get out of here, right? You know, so that bothered me, right?
No, you're right.
Really
you're right. You're
me.
Right.
Dealing, I don't have the recording right here, but I listened to the audio where, because there was a clip last year of Thielen and Kirk on the sideline getting into it, and Kirk mm-hmm. telling him, like, hey, I don't have that much time. You know, Thielen was telling him, I can beat these guys over the top. Thielen, an undrafted free agent, by the way, you know.
Uh-huh.
Let me go off on a tangent, right? You get Terry McLaurin, right, as a mid-round draft pick, right,
mm-hmm.
Accounted for Rookie of the Year. Adam Thielen, if he didn't lead the league in receiving last year, was very close to the top. Undrafted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Pro football scouts, people who you pay to do this, saying that Lamar Jackson isn't going to be a quarterback, would be better off making him a wide receiver. How do these guys have jobs?
Right. No, you're right.
How do these people have jobs? Because they don't know what they're doing. The mm-hmm. scouts, the combines and all this, these people obviously don't know what they're doing, right? They can't judge talent when that is their job.
Right.
To judge talent, right? You know? So look, I'm telling the fans, don't listen to anybody. Just believe your eyes.
Exactly.
Listen to us now. You know, we'll tell you the truth, right?
I mean, you can believe us.
Believe us, but the rest of it, you know, just believe your eyes, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was this whole thing about him. Even Diggs wanted to trade, or at least there were rumors about him wanting to trade, and they seemingly got things together. I mean, you know, but again, you know, you got some teams where folks can speak out and they can say what they want as far as players and it galvanizes everybody. But then you've got some teams where that seems to break it up. But the Patriots don't seem to be the type of team that has a kind of culture to players speaking out and saying what they want about the team. But then they also win a lot.
That's I guess Belichick will say, look, here's the deal. You don't talk, and we win.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I got to live with
that. But then there's some teams that, you know, that help the team when players talk and they air some things out. They get these all-player meetings going, and, like, we don't need coaches in on this. We want to talk about it amongst ourselves.
And they
get things hammered out. I think it just depends on whatever the culture is. But the point is, you kind of have a culture.
And so,
it's like you said, how can you do misdirection when there's no direction? And so, you know, how do you know what kind of team you are when there's no defining moment or defining character for the team,
That's right. What is it that we're doing? Where are we going?
Who are we?
On the bus. Who's driving?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are we going? The driver should at least know where we're going.
Exactly.
Right, you know. Are we all going the same place?
No, you got a great point there. So they got Minnesota coming up. Going to be a tough game for the Redskins. How do you see this whole thing playing out?
I see the magic factor, right? You know, they're
Minnesota 5-2, Redskins 1-6.
That's right. After the Nationals sweep Houston at home, there'll be so much magic in the air. The Case Keenum returning back to where it was all the thing that's keeping him in the league right now, you know, mm-hmm. return to that place. Captain Kirk seeing burgundy and gold, and he'll have a flashback and think he's in burgundy and gold practice and throw to the
burgundy and gold jerseys.
Well, let's see, Minnesota wears the dark jerseys at home, so he'll throw to the white jerseys, right, you know. So I'm thinking it'll be a massive upset. Massive upset.
Really? I can see why you think that. I think the Redskins lose this game,
mm-hmm.
but I feel as if it's going to be somewhere around 31-28, 31-27.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot closer than people think it's going to be. And the Redskins are going to show some life here. But unfortunately, for people who want to see Dwayne Haskins, it's going to put him back on the bench for another 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah,
because
Case
is going to play well here indoors.
Yeah. That would be one of the drawbacks.
And look out for some breakout performances from these receivers here, from McLaurin and from Quinn. I think that they're going to light this Minnesota defense up.
I'm looking at four picks by the Burgundy and Gold. I'm looking at four picks because, like I said, they were a half step off. The ball was hitting. They were touching the ball, right? They just got to put two hands on it this time because if you can touch it, you can catch it. They just got to go one step beyond. And I just think that at this point, we went through a whole show without talking about the defensive coordinator.
We did a whole show. But you know what? Maybe that shows that he wasn't the guy who needed to get fired.
Well, I think he was. But because because when it was time for them to stop the 49ers at the end of the game, they couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it.
They
marched right down the field.
But we haven't forgotten about you, Greg. We know you're still there. We'll give you a pass this time. But you know, we're coming. I mean, we'll just save it up next week. We'll give everybody a shot. Come on, you can change. Just change. You know, you got to really want to change. Look at this like therapy. For the defensive coordinator, right? You know, let's talk it out, right? You're tired of people talking about your people. I mean, we know it must have been demoralizing for you to be sitting in the interview where they were interviewing people for your job.
Uh-huh.
It would have been demoralizing for me. I would have done it, right? You know, that you know what? But what does it say to the players when they have interviews for your coach?
right. Yeah. No.
I mean, say, oh, man, you must be a chump, right?
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. So we just need a change of attitude, man. The attitude, we can create our own culture. It just take one man standing up and saying, you know, hey, like, we might go down, but we're not going down like chumps, right?
Exactly.
I think that will do it.
Speaking of going down like chumps, the Giants lose to the Cardinals 27-21 in NFC East action. The Cowboys beat the Eagles. Cowboys now 4-3. Eagles 3-4.
Beat them up too.
Giants 2-5. Redskins 1-6. We'll see how it all turns out next week. Anything you want to say about the World Series? Washington Nationals in the World Series, Game 1. We're recording this on a Tuesday morning, so Game 1 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Astros. It's a tough test. Houston's good.
I coined a phrase during after the first two games, after they won the first two games in St. Louis in the championship series, I coined the frame, broom shakalaka, right? So I'm predicting sweep.
Nice. Sweeping the Astros.
National sweep. Broom shakalaka.
Here's the thing. You talked about magic. I feel as if the Astros are probably a better team all season. But I think the Nationals are actually a better team. I mean, the Nationals, when you look on paper, I mean, top to bottom, I mean, this is a great team right here. They underachieved in the first part of the year, but when you look from the All-Star break until now, they have a slightly better record than the Astros, and they've scored slightly more runs than the Astros. Mm-hmm. I think they are better. I think they're playing up to the potential of the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're the better team. I think they win in five. I think they win both of the games in Houston. They drop one of the games in Washington, but they win the other two.
Yeah, you know what? If the Nationals had any decent bullpen this year, they would win 150 games.
Absolutely.
Loss they had, you say, what did the bullpen do? The bullpen gave it up because they led.
Yeah. Right.
They
led.
And it's just, speaking of magic, right? It's just, I mean,
there's something magic about this team.
Anthony Rendon gets to play in the World Series against a team where he grew up, right? He grew up in Houston, right? He played ball in Houston. How cool is that, right? You know, it's like,
speaking of cool, how cool would it be if the Washington Nationals win the World Series?
Oh, it's gonna be very cool. We might have to like preempt the show for the parade that day, or do the show live from the parade.
I've got the equipment. We can do that.
we can get
Charlie Sloan.
That's right.
Of course we can.
You know, and if anybody's listening, we need rings too. You know, we let you slide.
Well,
on the hockey
when we
ring.
Were on the federal. News Network, we were part of the team on Washington Post Radio and then 3WT and the Federal News Network. That was the original flagship station of the Washington Nationals.
Yes, yes.
So we did a lot of games that didn't count, that were meaningless, because the team was bad.
That's right, but we did them all in a professional manner,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, top quality. So,
and still broadcast the games as an affiliate, not the flagship. You know, like we were the flagship for the Capitals, it just doesn't get any hardware. But I digress.
Yeah,
but yeah, we need rings. You know, there's no doubt. It doesn't have to be as big as everybody else's ring.
Exactly.
One or two diamonds, right?
Or as a few rappers from the South say, rings. Them ranks.
Yeah, we need some ranks.
Bling.
Bling is the word. Okay, we can do it, right? You know. Anyway, you asked me for a prediction. After they sweep those two games, the team's going to be so inspired that winning's contagious and we're just going to smash Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that we're just in this whole thing. And we'll see how it happens. Federal Football Report, Federal News Network. He's Kevin Stanford. I'm Claude Jennings. Thursday night football, people, Redskins, Minnesota, Captain Kirk. Oh, man, it's going to be great. We'll catch up with you guys next week.